We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. This is not my real study Bible, so you all bear with me.
Do you want help reading?
Oh, yes. I want to get to the place where God, in that first chapter, where he said that he was tired of all their sacrifices, rams, and but really, here it is, the 12th verse of the first chapter of Isaiah.
When you come to appear before me, who hath acquired this at your hand to tread my course? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When ye make prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings, and from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. How far you want me to go?
You can stop right there at this time. There are many people that think they could do enough good to go to heaven. But I got news for you. We are not going to go to heaven on what we call our good. But in the word, it says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags unto the Lord. We have to consider heaven is a place, a holy place, and none can walk up there but those that are holy. God is requiring holiness. God is requiring that we be holy as he is holy. And when Jesus was here on earth, he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So therefore, that tells the story right there. Holiness. We sing a song. Heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and grace. He said none can enter there. Sin cannot enter there. So how do we feel that we're going to be able to go to heaven on just our good works? You see here, God got tired of these people with all of their sacrifices. But they were still doing what they want to do. But they want to make these sacrifices. So he said, I'm tired of it. Where it says, you appear before me. Who have required this at your hand to shred my corpse? Bring me no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moon and the Sabbath and these people, some of them wish you the moon, you know. And they want to try to keep the Sabbath, you know, but they still were doing all this. They weren't living right.
Yes.
And in the New Testament, we find that it goes down and tell, you're going to go there and say, well, Lord, but did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not do a lot of marvelous work in your name? But yet he gonna confess, I don't know you. Why is it that God gonna say he didn't know him? They said that they done, and they said they even cast out the devils. in his name. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. But they cast out devils in his name, and they said they've done a lot of marvelous work, but yet he's going to say to him, I don't know you. So we got to be very careful. We got to be very careful that our works and whatever we do is not for shape, form, or fashion of the praise of man, but we do it because we feel and we believe that we are being led by God. We cannot pay. Come on, when we get to thinking about ourselves, what can we do that we can earn to go to heaven? Well, what can we do to earn to go to heaven? What did he tell his disciple? Jesus told his disciple, if you continue in my word, right, then are you my disciple indeed. Now that gives you the key. You got to continue in his word. We got to continue in his word. We got to continue obey the word of God. Well, you don't see the Jews now. They're not offering up lambs and like they used to. But yet and still, they're saying there are many of them don't believe. And that God sent his son, Jesus. There are people going around believing that Jesus was merely a prophet, a good man. Isn't that something? There's two religions I know that saying they believe that he was just a prophet and that he was just a good man. But I got news for you. Jesus was more than a prophet. He was the Son of God. Don't let it be surprising. I tell you, he was God. He said, wait a minute, Brother Kelly. You say he was God? Yes. He was God manifesting himself in human flesh. And you're going to say, well, where did you get that from, Brother Kelly? You're going to sit up here and tell me that Jesus was God? Yes, he was God. When you read your Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became what? Flesh, right? And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. He was God. But yet still he was human and he was divine. He was from his Father. Jesus was God manifesting himself in flesh. And when he told Mary, the angel came to him and told him what? He said that the Holy Spirit going to come up on her. Right? And she's going to conceive. And I want you to call this child Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sin. Not in their sin. From their sin. Not in their sin. People think they can get saved. It's continuous in their sin, doing whatever they want. And that's one of those groups that says, once in Christ and never out. I guarantee you, you can get out whenever you feel like you can get out. But you don't want to get out when you get saved. I tell you that. You want to stay saved and you want to do the thing that God tells you to do. Yes, it could be once in Christ and never out. Once you get in him and stay in him and continue in his word like he told his disciple, then you are his disciples indeed. You're getting ready to go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. But you start and stop, falling back, stopping. But don't give up. Even if you did that, don't give up. Don't do that intentionally, because God is nothing to play with. He's God. He's almighty. He's all powerful. And he's all knowing. He knows everything that we do. He is right now in our presence. Just because we don't see him, don't think he's not here. God is right here now in our presence. And he's looking at each one of us. And he's looking into our hearts. He knows what's on our hearts. He knows what's on our mind. He knows what we're thinking. You can't outthink him because he knows us inside out. He told Jeremiah, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. He's God. He knew him before he was even conceived. But see, when the Holy Spirit came up on Mary, she conceived Jesus. And it was God DNA. It was not man DNA. They talk about this DNA thing. But it was God DNA. And Jesus walked here. And he proved himself that he was from the Father. He had so much power that he can tell the wind, be still. He could tell the ocean, be still. He had so much power, he could just lay his hand and say, rise up. He could raise the dead. What person can do that? It's no one else can do that. But God. God does that. If you die, I don't care how much money you got. You can have money just, you can have the whole church full of money. If you die, you are dead. You're not coming back. But Jesus is the type to come there and say, rise. He can give life. When we think about Mary and Martha and all of them, when Lazarus passed away, and they can't say, you know what, Jesus, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. You know why they said that? Because they believed that he would have been able to stop death. And he said, you're the same again. She said, yes, I know, in the general resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of life. Show me where you laid him. I may not be speaking exact words, but he said, show me where you laid him. Oh, he said, Jesus, the man been dead 4 days. My brother been dead 4 days. He's stinking by now. Show me where you laid him. And he prayed to the Father. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. You think Lazarus was the only one in town named Lazarus? There was other Lazarus. But this Lazarus knew the Spirit. When Jesus spoke, the Spirit went to that Lazarus and said, and this Lazarus come hopping out of the grave with his grave clothes on. I'm telling you, Jesus proved himself that he was the Son of God. And we have Christ in us, it's going to come out. People would know it. You know that you've been born again. You know that you're not the same when you was a sinner. And you young people here, you think that I'm 80 years old, that I just started right now, that I just started trying to live for Christ just right now? Let me tell you something. I was a teenager too, and I was in school. I was a person, I don't want to be famous, but look like it's just be that way anyway. I was the shortest person, male, in the whole entire school. And they put it in their paper that I was the shortest person in the school. Let me tell you something. Me and my friend, he was like 13 years old, I think that we were supposed to be the same age, but later on they proved I was younger than him. I ain't going to go into it because it's kind of a long story, but he would preach the word and be clapping his hand, and I would be in the amen calling, amen, brother. And he would preach, and he would preach to the people there on the campus. And as far as I know, they never called him into the office and told him anything, but they called me in there. They said, listen, if you don't stop this preaching in this school, we are going to kick you out of this school. It didn't stop us. It didn't stop me from continuing to read the Bible and tell people about God. So I want to let you know, I didn't just start it right now. It's been a while when I was just a teenager. But I'm not just here to talk about me. I'm here to tell you about Jesus, that he can save your soul and you can stay saved all of your life until God take you out of here. How long am I going to stay saved until God take me out of here? Sometimes people don't want to believe you. They want to say, well, I'm going to see how he's going to live. You may die before I do. I'm going to see how he live. I can't really believe it's him. I can't really believe God is doing that. I can't really believe he's saved. But you know what? I don't worry about that. I'm more concerned about doing God's will. And when I do something wrong and I believe it's wrong, then they come to me, I ask God, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me to go through this test. We all are going to go through tests and trials in this life. But he says in this chapter here, the willing and the obedient shall do what? Eat the good of the land. The good of the land. So we want to be willing. God is looking for a willing heart. God is looking for someone that is willing to suffer, willing to go. And sometimes it's long suffering. Through your trials, he wants you to be willing. Do you think that the Hebrew boys, and I know many of you heard about them, three of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you think they was any different than we are? They were flesh and blood just like we are. Here all these people bowing down to worship the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had built and set up, bow down to worship it, and here they sitting there standing up. Do you think the rest of them, their peers said, they got their nerve. Look at them standing up there. Now they know they hear and they know what the king done said. And look at them, they're standing up there. Oh no, I'm going to tell the king on them. Call him in. Shadrach, Meshach. Is it true that you are not bowing down when you hear that, you know, sack and this, the music and this? Yes. And you know the creed that they gave him said, you know what? And they said to the king, well, we're not careful that answers you concerning this matter. We're not going to serve your God, not bow down and worship it. But the God that we serve is able to deliver us. And let it be known unto you, if he don't deliver us, we will not serve your God. We have to be willing. We have to have a made up mind. I am going to serve the Lord. I have my mind made up. I don't care in school. If nobody else then pray, we're going to pray. Sometimes we fast and pray 3 days without food, without eating. And of course, my parents weren't rich. We didn't have money a lot to even buy lunches at school. Didn't have money to buy lunch at school. If we got something, we got a little sandwich or something, took to school. And I share mine with someone else that was hungry. So I put in for, see if I can get a job there. And in the cafeteria. And I worked in the cafeteria. While everybody else out there playing, having fun ball, I'm working. And then when the days that I fast, children that didn't have food, I issued my lunch to them. You think I just got saved yesterday? No, I did not. I've been living this way. I'm 80 years old. I've still lived that way. God's gonna take me out of here someday. And someday soon. Because now you read that when you're 80, after that you're gonna soon do what? Fly away, right? Fly away, Sister Clay, isn't that right? We're going to soon fly away. I'm going to fly away. I'm going to go back to God, yes, who created me. I'm looking forward for that. We have to get in the place where we are ready to die. Sister Greer, I don't know anybody here that knows Sister Greer, but she said, I'm ready to live. and I'm ready to die. And some of the people at the church, they live. The thing is, you all pray for me. When I first started out in my ministry, I said, Lord, I can't preach to the people because I cry. I cry. I try not to cry. I try to be brave and not to cry. I try to hold my tears back. So you all pray for me. But she said, I'm ready to live and I'm ready to die. So we wanted to go into heaven, got to make up our mind. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for God the rest of my life. I'm ready to live and I'm ready to die. We got to have our mind made up. These three young Hebrew men, they was just like everybody else. They was human. They was ready to live. And they was ready to die. But look the impression that they had upon this king. He said, well, we're going to make it 7 times hotter than it ought to be. We're going to heat this furnace really hot. These men here, he says, who going to deliver you out of my hand? But the Hebrew boys know God is able to deliver us. If not, we're still not going to serve your God. So he took the strongest man in his army to bind these three men, young men. Bind them hands and feet. And threw them. And they took them. These strong guys took them. And to cast them into this furnace. The fire was so hot, it was real. What did it do? It killed those men that threw them in there. That's how hot the fire was. The Bible said it slew them. So it means it killed them. Yes. You think those men that threw them in there thought within themselves, I'm going to throw these men in here, but the flame's going to kill me. If they had good sense, they'd say, oh, no, king, I'm not doing it. But the king would still kill them. Proverbs still killed them anyway. But they didn't rebel against the king. They done what they was ordered to do. But it killed, the scripture said, it killed the man that threw them into the furnace. And after a while, it was closed. And these men walking around. He said, he said, wait a minute. Did not we cast three into the furnace? And once the ladies were, a true old king, yes, we only threw three into the furnace. He says, behold. He me behold mean he looked. He said, behold, I see four walking around in the furnace and no harm to them. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. So who could reveal that to him but God? Yes. The fourth was like the Son of God. And he says, come out of there. They let him come out. And what did the king tree was, if any man after this, and did God work the miracle, these men was, didn't even have the smell of smoke on. Loose, band broke off of them, walking around. That's the power of God. Yes. And a lot of people say about God, it's just a thing in your mind. But I want you to know, God is real.
Yes.
God is just as real as you are sitting in that seat. God is real. This is not a plaything. This is not something that's just it's just something. You said, well, how you know he's real? Let me tell you something. When I was called to the ministry, I test God before. I test God because I did not want to preach the word of God. I did not want it. When I was 5 years old, my grandmother, I go sit around my grandmother. She believed in God. And she I was all right with my grandmother. She drank her coffee, and then she said, well, come over here, man. I'm going to give you, you sit right there, but I'm going to give you the shot. And she gave me the little shot of her coffee, the little bit to the left. And she told me, she said, you are going to be a preacher. Oh, what did she say that for? I broke out in tears crying. I don't want to be no ball-headed preacher. I cried. I don't want to be no ball-headed preacher. I cried. And I forgot about it. When I was about 13, God called me again. He called me. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be a preacher. I said, Lord, give me time. He had a way to do. God is a wise God, and you cannot outsmart him. I cannot tell you the whole story, but I'm going to throw a little bit at you what happened to me. I went through a little thing with my brother, and got smart and said, I don't even have to pray about that, because I could do it in this particular thing, and I could do it, and I quit anytime I get ready. Maybe something's a bit on your mind. You say, what did he do? Smoking. Then try to show it to people. Grind it, don't go out and make you any. Smoking a cigarette ain't going to make you a man. And you're going to go out and smoke and do stuff like that. But it came to time, this stuff was getting next to me. And I told them, I said, I don't even have to pray. This is what, at the beginning, I found myself, I said, I got to pray. Yes, in our church. See, some of you have been raised up in the church of God. I was not raised up in the church of God. But some people didn't believe that smoking was a sin. You can't find it in the Bible. But God don't want you doing anything to harm your body. Okay? Going against your body. He don't want you to put things in your body that's going against your body. And some things that you do, you know it's not good for you. But you continue doing it, you were going to be sick later on. You're going to be sick. Okay, he that sowed to the flesh, of the flesh shall reap what? Corruption. Right?
Yes.
But anyway, we went through that little ordeal and I prayed. I'm going to tell you what God did to me. The 13 years when I was supposed to be going to the ministry, he came to me and he said, I said, Lord, I want you to take this thing away. I told my brother, I said, I can't do it, because he told me, if you try this, you would not be able to stop. You won't be able to stop. I'm telling you, I can't stop. I'm trying to quit. I can't stop. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. But the Lord brought it to me. I want to get rid of it. I didn't think it was a good thing. I got rid of it. And he told me, if you would do my will, I will supply all your need. And I sit there thinking, am I doing your will? I thought I was doing your will. He said, don't you remember when I called you to the ministry? I thought, I forgot about it. I forgot even about what my grandmother said. You're going to be a minister. You're going to be a preacher. I forgot about that. Totally forgot about asking God, give me some more time. But he brought it back to me. And I said, wow. God is so wise. Now here I'm crept here. I can't quit this thing. I can't do it myself. I need God. I said, and people said, you know what? That's all in your mind. That's all in your mind about God. That's in your mind. You know what I did? I'm going to tell you what I did. Got me a piece of paper and a pencil, and I wrote it down. Listen to this. Lord, let it be an earthquake in Los Angeles, California, but don't let it harm nobody. That's what I'm asking him. I know that you want me to do what you want me to do. And I took that piece of paper, took it over there, opened the drawer, put it in there, went to bed that night. In my dream, a vision, there's an earthquake. And things were shaking and, oh my. Then it dawned on me, came to me. Remember that. What you wrote to the Lord. Immigrant came to me. Oh, I seen myself running. I'm going to run and tell my mother. I ran to tell her. God called me to the ministry. And she didn't say anything. I take that back. She did say something. She just kind of like ignored what I was telling her. She said, I want you to tell Mother Shelton. There's a lady named Mother Shelton in my church. I want you to tell her. I want to sing this song for her Sunday. And my mother got to singing. It was a song, he said, to me, he's so wonderful. Probably none of you ever heard it before. But he would say, to me, he's so wonderful. To me. It seemed like, to me, it was a choir, but I couldn't see the choir. All I could see was her. Because I had told him in person, I said, Lord, I don't know about this thing I'm writing. I sure don't want you to do it in person, because it'll probably scare me to death. That's what I'm thinking. But I was waking up, and my bed was shaking like this. And I'm like, am I imagining this thing or what? But I felt my bed shaking like that. And something came up out of my throat, and I had my nose like that, like it was cold, and I was kind of, I never found it. And I never smoked again. And I called for my mother. I said, my dear, we call her my dear. And she didn't answer. I kept saying, my dear, she still didn't answer. I said, my dear, she still didn't answer. So verily, my dad said, what is it that you want, son? And I said, I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know how to put it, because I didn't want to give a hint. He said, son, just before you called me, he said, it was an earthquake. You tell me God is not real? He said, it was an earthquake. He said, the pipes on the house were railing and carrying on. He said, it was an earthquake. And I said, wait a minute. I said, okay, Dad. I went and got the thing out of my drawer, came in and showed him. I said, God called me to the ministry. Now, some people may not have had an experience like that, but I have. I've been through a lot of things I cannot tell you today. But I want you to know that God's real. If he wants you to do something, he's going to be after you. The Spirit going to, he will come after you. It may not be the same way that I got it, but he's going to come after you. He's going to let you know. But he came to me, and my dad said, that's good, son. And he cried because I was the only child in that house, including my mother. Nobody could get him to pray. But I was not, maybe, I don't know what, I was the only child. Then, like I said, going to school and doing things like that. Do you think I just went to school and left God out? No. These Hebrew boys, they didn't leave God out. And you know what they gained? After that king said, if anybody say anything amiss against thee, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to be cut in pieces, and the house is going to be made a dunghill. That's what came out of that. Don't mess with these Hebrew boys, because there's no other God. This is what the king got. There's no other God can deliver out of this Saul. Not one. Nobody can deliver out of that. If God be for you, he more than the whole world that is against you. You be encouraged. You start out with God. You believe God with all your heart. You go in with all your heart. If nobody else don't go, you go. Amen. Pastor Clay, listen to the voice of God. And she's here. And at her age, she could easily say, I'm not doing it. But she followed God. And these are grandchildren, aren't your grandchildren? Sister Clay, these your grandchildren. She's your grandchildren. She's your granddaughter. You all keep up. She have been setting an example. I believe it. She's been setting an example before you. That's why you here. That's why you want to follow the Lord. And all of us, we must be continue in God's word and continue to follow him regardless what other people say, regardless what other people think about you, you care more about what God think about you than what people think about you. Because some people will put you up today and tomorrow they put you down. They'll pull a rug right from us and say, you ain't this, you ain't that. Top less we had in our church across the board at Los Angeles. Talk less and pray more. Don't listen to a lot of gossip. A lot of gossip gets you in trouble. Get you in trouble with God. It's better to say, let's pray. I listen to people talk, I said, let's just pray for them. Let's just pray for them. I really said, let's just pray for them. I don't know what's out there on me, but it doesn't matter. I care more about what God thinks about me than you or anybody else. I'm not going to try to be a stumbling block in your way. If anything, if I can't help you, I'm going to leave you alone. My dad was not a Christian. He was a sinner. He said, if I can't help you, I'll just leave you alone. And he always told me. And now this is the way my dad was. He was not an example. He said, I drink, but you're not going to drink. I smoke, but you're not going to smoke. I curse, and you're not going to curse. That's not good. I said it within my heart. God started seeking the Lord when I was 4. I said, I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be like my dad. No. I'm going to seek the Lord. When I get married, I want to treat my wife right. I want to be honest. I want to be fair. And I'm going to do my very best to be an example for God. And how long I'm going to be that way? Till I die. I'm made up in my mind. I'm ready to live. And I'm ready to die. And I'm not just saying that up here in the pulpit. Because God knows my heart. I want you, if you don't get nothing else out of this message today, I want you to say, be willing and obedient. This young man back here has some, he gave a testimony, something, doctors see something on his lung. You know what? That ain't nothing in the eyes of God. You go to God and you tell him about it. And God can fix it. God can heal you. God can take care of it like that. And you can go back to that doctor and he won't see nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I want you to know, God don't do things on our time. He doesn't do things on our time. Regardless of what other people say, each one of us here is going to have to face God one day. We're going to have to meet him. And God has the record. There's people say all kinds of stuff. And whatever people say, we can't get let it bother us too much. You know, you think about Job. They said Job had that affliction 14 years. Approximately 14 years of lung suffering. And his wife, Job, why don't you just curse your God and die? He said, you don't sound like a wife. You sound like a foolish woman. Talking to me and telling me, curse God and die. How many of us are willing to suffer? And the Bible said God was long-suffering. Long-suffering, he's the long-suffering God. But I want you to know that God can heal you. He can heal your mind. He can heal your body. And he will grant you desires of your heart if you believe it with all your heart. We cannot serve him haphazard. It's no that way. We cannot buy our way into heaven. No matter how much good we do. But when you get saved, you're going to do good. You're going to do good anyway. And even if you're sinning, you're still going to do some good. Because God made you good. So you're going to do some good anyway. Either way it go, if you're a sinner, you're still going to do good. But it is not going to count if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that God sent his son. The most important thing in your Christian life is that you believe that God sent his son to be a sacrifice for your soul. That is the most valuable thing that you can believe. You can do everything else, but if you don't believe that God sent his son, guess what? You missed the boat. We all miss the boat if we don't believe that, that God sent his son here to die for our sin. Jesus was not just a good man. He was the Son of God. The Son of God. And there's religions that believe that he was just a prophet and that he was just a good man. But he was more than a good man. So I think I'm going to close on this note. No matter what you go through, and no matter what your experience there be, look to the Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Sister Clay, I pray that you continue, because there is a crown of life waiting for you and I and all those that love his appearance. Apostle Paul said that. He said, not only for me, Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. And guess what else he said? I finished my course. And there laid up for me a crown of life. Not only for me, but for all those that love his appearance. Keep the faith. As I said, and all of you that are here, may God give you a great blessing. And may you work with your pastor close as you can and do all you can to help her. I know people say that I don't know leave what people says about me. It's okay. I never thought that God just only have men preachers to be pastors, because it's his business, it's not man's business. But I ain't gonna get into that, because I could go and tell some other thing, but no, I'm not gonna do it today. I don't wanna put too much on it. But stand behind your pastor, do all you can for her, because she have God has given her the leadership. Pray for her and every day. Pray for your pastor. Even though she's in age, like we both in age, my wife is too. Pray for her. And God give her long life to continue to be an example to her granddaughters and children. Continue to be that light that sit on the hill. That cannot be hidden. Because God wants all of us to let our light shine. Let our light shine. Everywhere we go. We don't have to have a sign on the back. I'm a Christian. You don't need that. Do that. Just live it. To the best of your knowledge. I can't even go outside. People waving at me. But I get away. I've been away for a long time. So a lot of the people that know me, they're passed away. I lost my brother-in-law. He was 90 years old. And a lot of friends around the corner that have been working on his soul. He's 92. As far as I know, he never accepted the Lord. But God has deserved that. As Job said, I believe it's 19 and 16. I might have it reversed of Job. He says that my witness is in heaven. And my record is on high. God got the record, brother. And I tell you what, man cannot erase it. Man cannot erase the record that God put there. You're talking about a computer, right? The computer can do this and the computer can do this. God is more than a computer. Your record, people may get it wrong, mixed up. But God will not get your record, your life. He's not going to get you mixed up with somebody else. He has the record. God has the record. Things been said about me, and I can't even tell you. I had to pray. I don't know if some of you knew Sister Oglesby. She died at 105 years old. And my wife and I loved her. Things have been said about me. I've been sitting down and a lot of things come against me in this church, Sister Clay. In this church, in the church of God, Evening Light Saints. And Sister Clark, she said, I prayed for her. But before she died at 100 years old. She came back and she said, Brother Kelly, he had someone to bring her from the home. I want you to forgive me for what I've done to you. And she said, all the things you've been through, and you're still here. I cannot tell you the record. God has the record. I've been forgave her a long time ago. You do something to me, I forgive you right away. Not tomorrow, but right now. I forgive you. What did Jesus say when he was dying on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the 11th chapter of Mark, it tells you, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespass. We have to forgive each other for our shortcoming. We said things sometimes we shouldn't say. We do things sometimes we shouldn't do. Because sometimes we listen to other people's and they prompt you up and said wrong things, but we have to give an account for ourselves. So may God bless each one of you. I pray for you, you pray for me. Let us be faithful.